Hi, I'm Skip Nipper. Welcome to Skip's Corner, the podcast where I tell you about not only Nashville's great baseball history and traditions,
shot to right, a one-hop liner,
but certainly about its past. And you will hear a little bit about its present and future, too.
Yes, he can. It makes the waist-high catch.
There are great stories about Tom Wilson Park, Herschel Greer Stadium, Sulphurdale, and the players, coaches, and fans who love everything about baseball. And every once in a while, you will get to hear from a special guest who will share their fondness and even passion for the great game.
It's a high fly ball down the right field corner, going way back, hits a leadoff home run.
Last week's conversation with Dave Emmenhauser, who planned a trip for Farrell Owens and Bart Leathers and me to spring training in Florida in 2016, brought back so many memories of thinking about all the great venues I've been at. And this week, I've seen more pictures of our visit the next season to Arizona. Bart did not go on that trip, but a fellow that was a friend of Dave's joined us from California. So there were four of us for another trip, I think seven games maybe in 5 days. That was a great trip. And it brought back a lot of memories once again. And I just want to talk to you about one today. I've got a friend, Mark Gent, Mark, J-E-N-T, has a website called Simply a Fan, where he plans trips to different venues, to different cities, different sports, soccer, Savannah Bananas, baseball, the Sounds games, Titans games, you name it. He's planned some kind of a trip. He's very, very good at it. He's a very kind man. I took a trip with him last year. He rented a van. There were several of us, John Mitchell and Charlie Mitchell, brothers who both played pro ball, were on that trip. And while Mark drove and we talked about baseball stories, and the Mitchell sister was there, we just had a great time. It was my first trip to Truist Park, sadly, and I hope to go back. And I hope to be on another trip with Mark someday soon. He asked me to write a story one time for his website. He has great memories, and he does a great newsletter. You should sign up for his newsletter, too, if you're not already doing that, because he sends his different opportunities for travel and tickets to games there. He's a big Dodgers fan. He's very interesting that he's tried to contact all the living Brooklyn Dodgers players. There are only a few left, I think, and he's not been able to get in touch with all of them before they passed. But he's just really interesting to talk to, and he has a passionate love for baseball. His daughter, I guess it's his only daughter that I don't remember, but her name is Brooklyn. I think that's just terrific. This is kind of where my story went that I wrote on his website. I think you can still find it there, maybe not. But this trip that I'm going to talk about was a trip of a lifetime. And boy, I was excited about it. For most of my life, I had dreamed of visiting Cooperstown. And finally, it was going to happen. 1 month before New Era's sales meeting. Now, you may not know, I was a New Era sales rep. That's the cap company that makes all the ball caps for the major and minor league teams and so much more, located in Buffalo. And my dad worked for him. My grandfather worked for him. I think my grandfather was hired by the owner of New Era in 1932 or something like that. We've had a long history with New Era, and I loved working for them. They were great to us. And we had a sales agency that had my dad and me. Dad retired, and it was three other guys, Mike Schnell from St. Louis and Robert Law from Atlanta and Tim Waddell, who happens to be my cousin, lives in Chattanooga. And 1 month before a sales meeting that they were having there in June, we made plans to fly into Buffalo 2 days early to venture to the Shrine of Baseball, the National Baseball Hall of Fame. We made sure our flight times from Chattanooga, St. Louis, Atlanta, and Nashville would coincide, and it worked out great. And after arriving to handshakes and hugs, we hurriedly claimed our bags, tossed them into the rental van, and began our four-hour journey, whiling away the time with a few family and business tales, and mostly with what you might guess it was baseball trivia. And most of our answers were wrong. I-90 was a typical interstate highway, but when we turned onto State Highway New York 28, the landscape changed. And with 30 miles to go, so did our level of excitement. We were anxious to begin our thorough observation of baseball's history from a new perspective. I was captured by the beauty of the village of Cooperstown, an unexpected quaintness, and nothing like I thought it would be. I had no idea it was named for James Fenimore Cooper, the author known for Leather Stocking Tales and The Last of the Mohicans, and located on the southern edge of Otsego Lake, the setting is appealing with a rural charm of small-town America. And I've told my wife this several times. She would love to go there and see how quaint this little village is, whether she liked to go to the museum or not. Well, on this day, we checked into our motel near the lake and walked up the short hill to the front of the Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum. But a sign told us it had already closed. And as the June sun was setting, we explored Main Street in search of a restaurant. It was not a particularly busy time of year, early summer, and we had several choices. Around the corner from the museum were a couple of places to have a beer or two and shoot pool or play darts. And that's where we ended our expedition for the day. The next morning, we got up and had breakfast at the Doubleday Cafe, a popular spot that was a favorite of locals and tourists, before making our way up the street to begin our self-guided tour. We'd given ourselves the better part of the day and another morning to cover as much of the museum as possible. And each one of us went our way, peering at displays about trading cards, heroes, and famous games, women in baseball, and you name it, and so much more. Well, it would be impossible for me to describe it. And of course, there was the hall itself with plaques honoring baseball heroes selected to the Hall of Fame. Many were not particularly memorable, but then there were the greats I knew more about. Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, Casey Stengel, Honus Wagner, Ted Williams, Roberto Clemente, and Ty Cobb, and I could go on and on, DiMaggio and Gehrig, you name it. And I swear I saw a resemblance in one Rube Waddell to my grandfather, who was also a Waddell. And he had talked about Rube Waddell. I've never been able to make a connection. He always told us we were related to Rube Waddell. It's the last name the same as my grandfather, Spencer, or Jack Waddell. Well, between lunch and touring the museum, we scoured the gift shop and made our way to the baseball shops in town. We passed a store with a sign in the window announcing Don Larson would be there to sign autographs at 2 p.m., and autograph tickets could be purchased inside for $20. As a Yankees fan and aware of his accomplishment of throwing a perfect game against the Brooklyn Dodgers in Game 5 of the 1956 World Series, well, I was hooked. I had to get his autograph. I purchased a ticket, then I thumbed through a bin of photographs of Larson to purchase for him to sign, before realizing I had seen some of the same images at another store at better prices. I returned to one of them and bought one, got in line about 30 minutes before Larson was to begin signing, and patiently waited. When I got up to where Larson was sitting, well, he didn't talk much, and in fact, he seemed a little sullen. And when I gave my ticket to the person with him, I asked if the famous pitcher would sign his name and underneath put the date and Cooperstown, New York. And the guy said, "That will cost you another ticket." And Larson never looked up at all. But I was happy with just Don Larson, and I moved on. I remember little else about the rest of the afternoon and evening, except we returned to the museum and after supper made our way to the bar where we had ended our previous night. And a few friendly rounds of pool and a dart game or two was it for me. So I told the guys I was going back to the Doubleday Cafe for one last beer before bedtime. I remembered there was a small bar there. And when I got there, two men were sitting at the bar, and I sat down next to one of them. And when his friend left, I was asked by the one remaining, who was next to me, how my day had been and if I had visited the museum. "Yes," I said, "it's a great to be in the spot where baseball was invented." I introduced myself, and he told me his name was Tim Wiles, that he was director of research at the museum, and he was originally from Iowa and was a Chicago Cubs fan. Well, since it was my first visit, never met anybody like him before, I was completely fascinated to have met someone who surely had all the answers. And that's when I first heard from him that Abner Doubleday was nowhere near Finney's Farm, that he was enrolled in the United States Military Academy at West Point in 1839, the year that Cadet Doubleday supposedly laid out the field and devised the first rules of early baseball. "We are pretty much certain that Abner Doubleday is not the inventor of baseball," Tim said. He explained how the story had been debunked, and although simply a myth, that would not change Cooperstown, Abner Doubleday's home, nor the Hall of Fame one bit. Around 10:45 p.m., the other guys came in, and I introduced them to Tim. And as the conversation continued, the lady tending bar told us she was closing at 11 o'clock. But by that time, the trivia contest was well underway, and losers were buying. And I think she enjoyed it. She stayed open until 12:30. And the results of the trivia contest? We did not stand a chance. But I did come away with my Doubleday Cafe beer mug, which I still have. Well, let me just finish by saying it was a classic trip. It rivaled two week-long spring training trips with Dave Ammenheiser in 2016 and 2017. 2017 World Series games 6 and 7 that I saw in St. Louis against the Texas Rangers, and the birth of all four of my children. I'm just kidding about that. But I have returned to Cooperstown 3 times since, and one of those times was alone to spend a few hours in the research library arranged by, guess who, Tim Wiles. And to thank him, I sent every Cubs cap from my cap sample case to him. That was an easy trade. If you ever get a chance to go to Cooperstown, do it. You'll never forget what you saw there and the time that you spent there. And you can tell your kids and grandkids. And maybe one day you'll have a podcast that you can talk about it on too. I hope you enjoyed hearing about my trip to Cooperstown. Thanks for listening.